This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, as you just heard. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we want you to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. Call early. Call often. We will get to you. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper. The one fans deserve. Bart Scott. While the AL wildcard game was really not so entertaining.
Yo, I was so mad.
Last night.
I fell asleep five times yesterday, too.
Fell asleep five times yesterday?
It was just 1-1 forever, man. Base,
oh, come on. But
base.
That game was – how could you fall asleep during a game that compelling? There was always base runners. It wasn't like it was a boring game. There were base runners.
No.
Cardinals just couldn't get people in.
I mean, you got surgery. Like, he's all over the place, man. It's like nothing going on.
The Dodgers with a walk-off win. What a performance. What a game. What a moment. What a way to really
– that's straight talk, though.
Really started out. Look at you. You didn't even need me. Do you even need me anymore? Like, you already know – what read to set up, where to go with it. You are right, though. It is time for Straight Talk.
I need you like a fat candy cake, man. Never forget that.
Straight Talk Wireless. So the Dodgers went walk-off fashion. Two-run home run. Chris Taylor, an all-star, didn't start the game. Pinch hit.
You know how rich you got to be?
Melon, we need you! Comes in.
You know how rich you got to be? You got an all-star just chilling.
Yeah, they are. They have their depth is insane.
Talk about buying championships. Mookie Betts, Trevor Bauer.
Hey. Whatever it takes.
Scherzer, Turner.
At least the Dodgers understand how to operate like a brand name.
I got to see the Magic Man sitting there like he's involved. Stop. You just collecting a check.
What do you mean? Magic's very much invested.
No, he don't know nothing about no damn baseball.
He knows enough to be part of it.
He know about Showtime.
Yes, he does. Can you believe it's only the fifth walk-off in a winner-take-all postseason game? Only the fifth time we've ever seen something like that. I know. It's amazing, right? Edwin Encarnacion. You remember that one?
Who's that? Remember, I asked you, that was one of my grenades I threw to you one time.
Mm-hmm.
Birdman, when I was asking you the Birdman.
You loved Edwin Encarnacion. That's right. He was with the Yankees, 2 years ago?
Yeah, Birdman.
Right. So that's back in 2016. But Taylor had been struggling. And just to have him in a big spot. Now, you thought Pujols. Remember, Albert Pujols was, he's Cardinal for life. Like, they love him there.
Looking for this pitch.
Yeah, looking for this pitch.
I get it. No, that would have been a storybook.
What
like,
a story.
Magical moment.
Yeah, you thought if anybody was going to do it, it was going to be him. It wasn't, though, against his former team, but it was Taylor. And now we get, and I'm big on brand names. I'm sorry, everybody. That's just how I'm about. I love the brand names. And baseball gets a brand name matchup early in the playoffs, but that's all right. You mean in the Giants and the Dodgers, who? By the way, when was the last time the Giants and the – I'm throwing you a grenade. Giants-Dodgers facing in the playoffs. When was the last time, Bart Scott?
Never, ever. I think like 1920 or something like that, man.
No, never, ever.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
I do my research.
Barstradamus was
correct. Forgot I've been working since this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some of these fun facts.
Yes, you were on Get Up. Talking about fun facts. You had that place cut up. As you should be called Cut Up when you're on it instead of Get Up. But it's amazing. They have met – over 2,500 games, and yet they have never met in the playoffs.
They
go back to playing at Polo Grounds and Brooklyn back in the beginning of time, and they never faced each other in actual playoffs.
It's amazing,
crazy.
Too. And you think about the success of the Giants, it's not that they haven't been successful. It's that they haven't been successful at the same time because the Giants go through those stints. The Giants are one of the most interesting organizations I've ever seen in sports.
Why is that?
They're kind of like the Red Sox. Like they go through these lows, like where they dominate.
They aren't as hard luck though as the Red Sox, but
yeah,
I get
true.
What you're saying.
But they'll win three, then they'll be horrible, and then they'll win three. Like it's like horrible.
Yeah,
it's like the ups and downs.
Well, they reset, and they aren't bad for long. I guess
right. That's
probably the
this
best
is
way
supposed
to put
to be,
it.
This is supposed to be a law. Nobody expected it or anticipated that.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest surprise, I think, the Giants might be one of the biggest surprises of baseball this year.
Which is
why we thought it was going to be the Padres and the Dodgers, right?
Star-set
and all the
team.
Money
yeah.
And
yeah.
Now look what, man, the little engine that could. Is it fair to call the Giants the little engine that could?
No.
No.
They're a surprise, but I wouldn't call them anything. There's nothing little about that franchise.
So you're saying they're a brand name because I was going to call the Dodgers like
San
Captain
Francisco
Crunch.
Giants are a brand name.
I was going to call the Dodgers Captain Crunch and call them King Vitamin.
They're not King Vitamin.
The Dodgers.
No.
They've had a success, but they're not the Dodgers. They're not that type of brand name.
No.
They're like Denver, right? Like, you know how like the big
what?
Team. No. I'm talking about the football terms or basketball terms, right? You know, like, they're a good city, big city, but they're not looked upon as, like,
I can't get with you.
Okay.
No. The San Francisco
Giants. I know Willie Mays, Hayes.
Listen to me what I'm saying to you. They go back to playing at the Polo Grounds in New York when New York had three baseball teams. So they're part of the original, like, the beginnings of baseball include the
Willie
New
Mays.
York baseball Giants. They then moved to San Francisco, like the Dodgers moved to L.A.
Yep.
So they were part of the expansion. They were a franchise that was a standard setter, set part of the expansion. They're that. They play in a great city in San Francisco, and they are loved in that city. And then on top of it, they played in the stick all those years, as you know. Mm-hmm. Then they build themselves this amazing park that has revitalized that area. McCovey Cove, what a cool story that is. People are on kayaks going after home run balls.
There's
everything cool about them. There's nothing not cool about the San Francisco Giants. Nothing.
Like, they just seem like, you know what I mean? Like, they just seem like okay, I'm a car guy. They seem like the Audis of the world, right? Everybody else is the Bentleys. Like, you think the Yankees.
That's not terrible.
They're notch
That's
below.
Not terrible.
They're notch below, like, the brand names.
Yeah, I wouldn't go Bentley.
I would go Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, and Cardinals. Like, are like the brand names that, like, people
Cubs.
Growing up. Yeah.
The Cubs are a brand name.
Yeah, the Cubs
even though they haven't,
there.
Even though they
Cubs
don't win, it doesn't
right.
matter. They're a brand name, though.
Right.
The
That's
Giants are with the Cubs when it comes
right.
to brand name.
Right, right.
So if you're talking about you got Mercedes, BMW, then there's Audi. If that's what you want to say,
yes,
all right, they're
saying.
In the Audi level.
Yes,
if that's how you want to do it, I'll give you that. But they're very successful. They're very good.
I love them. I love them.
And we get a
years.
Series that, believe it or not, besides the two historic franchises, we've never seen this
it's
before.
Amazing.
So that makes it fun. It is a rivalry.
So baseball's
that
happy
makes
then.
It fun.
So baseball's happy then, right? Because they got two brand names.
Oh, I think so.
Playing against each other for the first time. So history.
I think so. I think just that. And then you know what else? Why else baseball should be happy? Here's why baseball should be happy. Is that it's also an example of what we were talking about yesterday. Two winning teams. Like big winning. This is the first time. I didn't mean to do bigly. Big winning. Nothing but winning. 105 wins. It's the first time two teams with 105 or more wins faced each other in the playoffs. That's never happened either. And think about all the teams that we've seen in history that have won big in the regular season. We never really see Clash of the Titans of that epic proportions as we are right now. Yeah. So it is good for baseball to see that the 162 games you played, it does matter. Now, is it too soon? Should we have reseeded? Should you, if the you know the Dodgers with all their wins, should you now say, well, they won the wild card. They should not have to play the Giants now. Like, we don't want that matchup yet. They should then reseed and play the lower of the win total of
This is the argument in all of sports, right? We talk about
they should
that.
Play. The, they should play the Braves.
This, we talked about this last year with the NFC lease, right? If you're trying to go into that, those are like admirations, right? Those happen every blue moon. So I don't think you ever can get to a point when you reseed because you know you have to understand that everybody has a different path, and sometimes you have to build your team to win your division, and that may not always mean that you're going to have the best record because your division can be harder than the other. But I tell you what, I am excited about. You know, these two rivals going against each other. Because you can see it since during the regular season that was a bit of a bad blood between them.
It's always
it's highly
be.
Competitive. And, you know, it's like weird, right? It's like they're both in the state of California. One's Northern California, one's Southern California.
Right.
But I feel like it's like that whole vibe, right? The people up in San Francisco are totally different from the L.A. cast.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? The music,
doubt.
The style,
everything's
the way
different.
Their life is.
Yeah.
But they're in the same state.
Yeah. That's again, this is all, there's a part of the coolness of this thing. It is great. And baseball, like I said, gets a really good marquee matchup in the NLDS. The only problem is, of course, is that it's in the NLDS. It's a five-game series, a little bit different. So with that in mind, though, it was the game itself last night was epic. Everything from start to finish. There's so many different stories. Adam Wainwright, 40 years old. Never, ever. Nobody hits his curveball. Carlos Beltran didn't even take the bat off of his shoulder. If Met fans certainly know what I'm talking about in reference to one of their worst moments. So, like, that curveball's unhittable. Early in the game, he throws the curveball. Justin Turner, bomb.
Oh,
speaking of Mets.
Former Mets.
Speaking of Mets. So like, you get that. You get Max Scherzer, who, give the Cardinals credit, they made him work.
Hey, you know what I love? I love that Wainwright pissed him inside and high. Really trying to bunt. Like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's great.
They should have made him run and pull a hamstring or something. I would have did something like that. I'd have put his ass on base just so he could have to run. You know what I'm saying?
But how about it, when it comes to Scherzer, too? The other thing that I loved in this game, you remember you and I talked about this? It was a while back when he first went to the Dodgers and Dave Roberts was like, there was an incident in the dugout, and we're like, what happened there?
Yeah, don't touch me.
And apparently, he doesn't like to be touched. And I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy, so he comes out of the game, I pat him on the butt, and he just gets mad. Like, don't touch me. And remember,
he's
Scherzer.
Like, did you say don't touch me?
Yeah, and then, right. And then Scherzer described it as if to say, like, well, I don't need to be congratulated for doing my job. That's his explanation. But he's a different kind of guy. So what happens, Roberts comes out to get the ball from him. Like, it's time. And Scherzer shakes his hand, and I love what Roberts did. Nobody really talked about this. What did Roberts do as Scherzer walked by? Patted him on the butt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's like, no. Even a handshake. Ain't leaving you in the game.
Yeah,
no,
like there's just so many cool.
And then my favorite guy. Oh, I love the habitual line stepper. My guy comes
Joe
in and
Kelly?
Gets him out. Yeah,
Joe
man.
Kelly.
The goggles was looking
Clark
sweet.
Clark Kent.
They was looking sweet yesterday.
Jacked up on Mountain Dew. So, like I said, there's a lot of cool stories about this. The gamesmanship, the back and forth, the managing decisions, the bullpen, the way they used them, the drama, of course, the Pujols story. But then on top of it, of course, Chris Taylor, who had been struggling. Roberts goes to him. He hits the walk-off home run. And here's the first question of the day. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Is the walk-off home run the best way to walk off in a game? Like, and I mean this. In basketball, you can have a buzzer beater. In hockey, you can score an OT, which is, in playoff OT is ridiculous. You score a goal,
football,
right?
You football can have is a 66-yard field goal.
It could be the doink, right? You could hit a field goal or, again, a touchdown. Like, you can have a touchdown
and kickoff back. Oh,
yeah, you know what I mean?
That's the realest.
But, I'm talking about, though, game ending.
Yeah,
like, ends
yeah.
the game
yeah,
on
the,
this
the
play.
The kickoff in
so
overtime.
That's the question. And let's just do it on playoffs. The best way. What's the best moment you can think of? A walk-off moment. Would the home run be it? Would the home run be it? Would it be a goal?
Can we ask
Would it be a game-winning shot, like a buzzer beater?
Can we ask him something more specific?
What?
Can we ask him to name a moment, their favorite walk-off moment of all time in history?
I'll take that, yeah. Well, that's what it is. You show your work. So you'll say this, and here's why, and you just say it.
Yeah, that's dope.
Right? Like, I think that's how we do it. All right, first and foremost, though, let's hear from Dave Roberts, though, because, again, the Chris Taylor story is a really good story. A guy who was an all-star and then wasn't even in the lineup to start the game, gets called upon and comes through in the clutch for the Dodgers.
I think just to put it simply is the game honors you. He wanted to be in there tonight, but he was ready when called upon. And he prepares like no other. And so to come in and make a really nice play defensively that doesn't really show up in the box score, and to pop out his first at bat, but to kind of be present in the moment, execute a plan, and put a good swing. That's why he's our Campanella recipient this year. That's why he's one of the leaders on this club.
And that's why they trusted him in a big spot. All right, that's Straight Talk, brought by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. So let's see. Let's start off with Glenn in Atlantic City. Come on, Glenn.
Yeah, I was going to say the home run has got to be the best way to end the game. I mean, if you ask Joe Carter, ask him how that felt. You know what I mean?
Kirk Gibson. Right?
Kirk Gibson.
Double pump.
Yeah.
Stolen from the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what
Gotta
else, too?
Love the home run.
And you know what it is, Glenn? And thanks for the call. This is why I feel like that's a really good one, because everything else, the minute it happens, the goal, the field goal, the three-pointer,
Ray Allen,
you
man.
Are surrounded by everyone, and you're just jump all over you. The home run, you got to run the bases. You got to you still have like
so,
you
so
get
if you
a
don't touch all
you,
the bases,
you
they take
literally
it back.
Get a victory lap. In what other sport, right? Do you have a walk-off moment? Do you have that game-ending moment where you literally have a victory lap before, and then everybody's waiting for you? Think about this, Bart. You do something, and then you got to run to people. They don't run to you. You
got
to run to
off.
Them.
Yeah, they tear your shirt
because they're waiting for you at home plate. Now, if you're Jose Altuve, of course, you got to hide your tattoo. Yeah. So you want to make sure that doesn't happen.
Actually, for me, man, just. You know, Benny Johnson coming off the curl, man, getting the rock and just going up over Porter or Drexler, man, hand behind the head, 007. That was just, for me, that just hits me in a different special type of way. The microwave, you know what I'm saying? And microwave is the sixth man, but he closing the game out. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you feel me? He ain't the starter. He ain't the big man on campus. He a guy that wasn't even supposed to be in the game. He don't even start the game, but he was in there doing Vinny Johnson.
Yeah, the microwave. Sure.
Like, how do you see the ball? He let it go behind his head.
Yep.
Him and Bill Cartwright, the greatest releases of all time, baby.
Way high up. Can't block him. Richard's in Pennsylvania. I know where you're going, Richard.
Yeah, the greatest walk-off I've ever witnessed was Villanova National Championship game. Tar Heels come down, hit a ridiculous shot with seconds.
Yeah.
And then Villanova comes back, hits a game-winning three-pointer at the buzzer to win the national championship.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that the fat dude that walked in, he took the ball out, and then he came in.
Chris Jenkins?
Yeah, and he came out, he just hit the one step, and they say he do it in practice all the time. Yep. That was pretty dope, too.
Fact that the game, you thought the game was over. Like, the shot before that was epic.
And he came with the 1-2 step. Mm. Ooh, that was hot money. Whatever happened to that kid, man? All right. He's playing in.
Are you doing this? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard.
He's playing in India somewhere.
Bart is so good with the grenades. So good with the grenades. No, but again,
that was dope.
There's a lot of them. Well, obviously, there's many of them that we can refer to. But I'm talking about the feeling, though, something about rounding the bases, your victory lap.
What about Adam Vinatieri, though, man?
Big moment.
He put the hands up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the team
knew it was going.
All those dudes from New England. I don't know who that was, man. I don't know how he put all his hamstrings. They came on the field, was high stepping all the way across. Yeah.
Let's continue with the call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Bob's in Idaho. Bob, what do you got for us?
Bob, you're killing us, Bob. We can't have dead air.
All right, Bob. We tried. Darren's in New Jersey.
Hello.
What's up, Darren?
Yeah, this one's for Bart. My favorite walk-offs when Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Bud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl.
Oh yeah, baby. My nickname in college was Bobby Boucher.
Shocking.
I had number 9. I was a safety. and I had a neck roll. I had a neck roll. I had
to put that one out there, man.
Oh, something's wrong with your Abner Duda, Abgal, and Colonel Sanders. Mama said.
You let people really call you Bobby Boucher?
Yeah.
Because you were that guy?
I was putting dudes to sleep. I was playing against inferior.
You were basically that guy that you saw, like the coaches let you know, like, you know, he's being mean to you. His head changed into somebody that was saying mean stuff to you.
H2O! Gatorade! H2O!
Oh, my God. So we'll continue with these calls at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. It's a hilarious conversation, but it's a fun one to have because it is, like I said, it is one of those moments as you watch it. It's a winner-take-all kind of moment. And to see that and to see the celebration, to be part of, you think to yourself, like, is that the best way? Like, because there's something so cool about a walk-off home run. In fact, I mean, that's it. You walk off. That's the whole idea. It's really the pitcher that walks off.
You shouldn't even have to run around the bases. You should be able to just drop.
What, like Robin Ventura? Remember that? The grand single?
You know what I love? I love Pedro Serrano. Look at the scoreboard, not grasshopper.
Yeah, no doubt. 888-SAY-ESPN. All right, 888-729-3776. So we'll continue with these. Now there's walk-off singles and stuff, and I don't know if I'd count those.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You know, there's certain ones that a walk-off single is kind of cool. That's on me.
Meh.
Is that a meh?
Meh.
Yeah, that's definitely a meh. But I'm talking about the home run. This is just something a lot. Because when you hit the single, everybody just charges at first base and they just come like pound you. I'm talking about you hit the home run and you're walking. Team's walking by you like they know the game's over.
Yeah.
They're out.
Altuve's was gangster because that was a rival and they was hating too. And what makes it worse is Chapman.
I completely disagree.
Chapman's looking at him and you can see like Chapman's the only person. It's only very few people that I've ever been around who top lip sweats. And like, you know what I'm saying? You see the top lip sweat and the dude looking like Virgil Tibbs in Heat of the Night, man. Like just humidity in the air. And he got that look on his face like, you mother, you got
it. Yeah. And then the fact that that whole moment at third base, just don't even want to talk about it. Anyways, We'll continue with your calls on this. And, of course, we are getting ready tonight, Bart Scott, for week five.
And we got a good one. This ain't
two,
no Bengals.
Four, fifth. Yes.
No Bengals today, baby.
No, this is definitely a good one. It is one certainly to discuss. And maybe the most interesting Thursday night football game we have had since the season opener. And now both teams need to get this game. But who needs it more? And what's the drama behind it? We will discuss next. Also, continue with your calls. Bart and Hahn just getting started. ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. So we have Thursday Night Football tonight. We'll get back to your calls, by the way, in a moment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hold tight on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Getting some tweets as well on this topic. As we're saying, last night, the walk-off by the Dodgers, and the question being, is there any better way to end an all-or-nothing game, an ultimate game, whether it's a Game 7, a series-winning game, a championship, that kind of stuff, than a walk-off? Because you get your own victory lap. Is it a buzzer beater? Is it an overtime goal in hockey? Is it a field goal at the gun in the NFL? You tell us. We've got our own thoughts on it, certainly, as well. We'll get to you in a moment. But first, again, tonight, Bart, this is a big game. All right, we had last Thursday night's game was just, you know, okay. You know, we had a decent matchup of young
– it's a warm-up act.
Of young quarterbacks, and, you know, Trevor Lawrence looked better and all that stuff. And, of course, Joe Burrow. Yeah, you know, Joe Burrow looked, you know.
And it led
looked,
to, it, yeah. It led to Lapgate.
And it did lead to Lapgate.
Yeah.
And other issues in Jacksonville that, yeah, are still lingering. But now we've got ourselves something to watch tonight as far as
– varsity.
We got to learn something about both these teams, and that is the Rams and the Seahawks in a big NFC West battle. What do you like if the Rams lose to – see, I think the Seahawks have a lot more at stake here because I'm starting to wonder if they are that team, right? We knew this was going to be a really good division, and some of us before the season were looking at the Cardinals as you guys aren't really in that class yet. But now they're at the top looking down at everybody saying you got to catch up to us. The Seahawks are that team that I feel like might be losing ground, especially just from the eye test. If the Rams, I still sort of believe in the Rams.
Yeah, man, that was admiration.
Yeah, I still believe in them, but the Seahawks are that team. I'm kind of looking at Bart and wondering, maybe they're not as good as we thought, and maybe that window that Russell Wilson thought he still had open there is closing.
Yeah, and that's a great thing, right? Because you think about, Thursday's game is one thing, but also you have San Francisco versus Arizona, right? So you thought right now you got San Francisco and you got the Seahawks kind of fighting for the basement, right? And like, you know, Jimmy G not being there. If he can't go, Trey Lance is going to be there. And Russell Wilson is looking at this division like, hold up, man. If I finish third and fourth, like what can this team do or what can we add that's going to make us better? Like,
well, they're also, again, cap situation too there. They already added. They tried to make the offensive line better. The defense is now becoming the bigger issue again.
They've always been an issue. Wagner's getting older every single year.
Jamal Adams. I mean, they're paying him to be great, but
He doesn't affect the winning as much, right? No, he's not one of these. Like, safety is a premier position, but they use him as a pass rusher because they have to, because he's a liability to a certain extent in pass coverage. Mm-hmm. So they use him as an in-box safety. They use him like Adrian Wilson. They blitz him. That's why he had 9 sacks last year and broke that record.
So let's look at the futures. If I told you, if you're going to invest in futures on these teams in that division, are you investing in Arizona's future?
Arizona, yes. Yeah.
Right? Future. Coach, quarterback, you got wide receivers galore, and their defense is – markedly better.
And young defensive talent. That's only going to get better. So you think Isaiah Simmons, Zaman College, and Buda Baker.
All right, so you're buying. You're right. So you're investing in them. You're investing in the Rams, obviously. Well, again, quarterback. Yeah. You got that combo. You've got two studs on defense.
Next 3 years.
And they have, obviously, a lot of weapons on offense as well. Okay, so you're buying them. Are you investing in the 49ers? Despite the fact that Jimmy G is injured, you kind of know they've already put their future in Trey Lance. Yeah, that defense is stout.
Williams, best left tackle in the game, most violent left tackle in the game. You got Bosa. You got all these young defensive linemen that they've accumulated over the years.
One of the best tight ends in the game, if not the.
Yeah.
Right? You put him right there with Kelce.
And who knows what Trey Lance is going to be. But, you know, if Trey Lance isn't ready, you still have Jimmy G under contract for the next couple of years that you can afford to pay. Debo Samuel's a nuke. They're loaded, too. So,
yeah. I mean, all right, so you're buying them. So then I go to Seattle. And you do have the coach-quarterback combo, right? You have an elite coach. Pete Carroll, elite coach? I mean, he's an elite coach.
Yeah, of course he
is. Yeah, of course. Okay. So you have the elite coach combo, coach-quarterback combo. And then you had a defense that used to have a rep. Not anymore. You have an offense that does have weapons. I mean, you know,
Lockett and Metcalf.
Metcalf and Lockett are obviously, you know,
Carson's
high
pretty
end.
Good when he's healthy.
Yeah. So, but, you know, you're questioning the defense, and that's where they've been struggling the most. So are you investing in their future?
I'm not. I think this is potentially Russell Wilson's last year within this division.
We keep hearing
that. We talked about, you know, him flirting and saying his wish list of where he would want to go and flirting with the Raiders, flirting with Chicago, flirting with Dallas. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to holler at other people's chicks while they still dating. They holding hands. They're trying to slide the number in there, trying to go to DM. And say, hey, what's your Instagram?
You know what? It's a funny scenario, right? You know, the Aaron Rodgers, Mike Tomlin thing just happened. That little flirtation that they both were like, what do you mean? We're just friends, right? Like, is Russell Wilson, like, sitting in Seattle going, hey, hang on a second. Wait, Pittsburgh? I didn't know you were looking, Pittsburgh?
Exactly.
I didn't know you were looking? Because, like, look, you slide in and just like, oh, you up?
Because he knows that Seattle's a little far beyond in the process. They've been trying to build an offensive line for Russell Wilson almost to the fact where he became the squeaky wheel in the offseason saying, hey, man, like, I'm tired of getting hit. You know, I think he was sacked like 50 times last year. Like, Russell Wilson takes a lot of punishment. And like, he's saying, hey, man, he's looking at the other guys to stand upright. And it may be time. And, you know, I think what's going to make this move faster is if they fall short of expectations. Because anything short of, if they don't make the playoffs, forget like going to the playoffs and doing something. If they don't make the playoffs and they like the fourth team in the division, where does it get better? Because other teams have flexibility because they have young quarterbacks that they don't have to pay, so they can continue to get better, which is the same way you won when Russell Wilson first got in his league because you didn't have to pay him because he was a third round or second round draft pick, I believe fourth. So, I mean, I'm keeping my eye on Seattle.
Okay. I mean, that's certainly the team. Like I said, tonight's an important game, I think, for them more than anyone. I really want to see, is it starting to close? And that's what makes certainly tonight's game that compelling. But we had a compelling finish last night. Dodgers, and the Cardinals in a walk-off fashion. And that's what we've been asking you. Is it that the best way to finish a game?
Can I bring up one of the best finishes I've ever seen that people don't really talk about? And this is well before I became a Jet and became a Jet fan. Garrison Hurst, 49ers, get the ball, 99-yard run. Overtime, just mush. I don't know who that defender was. Mushed him down his leg and took off a 99.
What about Victor Cruz, speaking of the Jets?
Really?
I'm sorry, but that was pretty dramatic.
We're not friends.
But no, I mean, what?
I'm not talking the rest of the segment.
You think that moment for me? You think it hurt you? That hurt me. I'm just bringing it up as what a moment it was.
Do I need to talk about the finger roll with the Knicks?
How dare you? He missed that.
I got shots.
How
too.
Dare you?
I got bullets too. See? Now we got dead air. Now we got dead air.
No, I'm not talking to you.
Hit the gong. Let's make up.
I'm not hitting
the gong.
Gong. I'm not.
And then all is forgiven.
I'm not hitting the gong. You know what I'm doing?
Give him the gas face.
That's what I'm doing to you.
See, and that's messed up because I ain't got no controls over here.
No,
Captain
you don't.
Kirk. I'm over here like
that's
Scotty.
That's a shame.
I'm not a LeBrick fan.
That's a shame. Oh, you're not going to talk?
But Bristol,
you don't have to talk. I can talk for you.
but Bristol can give me a him.
Oh, can they?
They can give it to me from Bristol.
No, they know not.
Him.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Heal. Allen.
Did you really just hit me? Can't hit me.
I called the code red.
Well, clearly.
You and Victor Cruz hurt my feelings.
How dare you? See, I'm really mad now.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Need you to lock it up. And I'm going to need you all to stay on hold at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on the Barton Hahn Nation. Dr. Pepper, call in line. We will get to your calls on whether or not Bart's out of line. But, of course whether or not the walk-off home run is the best way to end a winner-take-all kind of game. Coming up, more NFL as well because, you know, the Packers have kind of felt like with Aaron Rodgers, remember where they were last year. We talk about everybody else but them, it seems. The Rams, right? The Cowboys we're talking a lot about. But speaking of Cowboys, the Packers just made a big addition, a big splash just now that kind of maybe let everybody else know we are dead serious about what we are trying to do again this season. We will discuss that. Of course, take your calls as well. It is Barton Hahn. It is me. And it's him on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
I got a name.
Bart and Hahn.
Back to Bart and Hahn, ESPN Plus. And Bart Scott, as we were talking about the walk-off home run last night from Turner for the Dodgers against – why are you sitting like that, man?
Are we on TV?
Yes, we are on TV. The Dodgers and the Cardinals in the – National League wild card game, just an epic finish to what was really a really entertaining game. And it got us to thinking, and that's what we're asking callers about this, but it's something that you and I should kick around certainly as well. And that is just seeing the walk-off home run in the playoffs. There's something just extra special about it on many levels. It's such a celebration. It's almost like the minute it hits, it's off the bat. You just know. Everyone knows, right? Like it's that, and especially when it's in the home building. And you just look around, and there's arms up in the air. We're watching it right now. You just see the swing,
why
and
he
it's
take off
look
so
at
damn fast.
Everyone.
He wasn't sure.
Because you got it. No, it's adrenaline, baby.
Man, he took off, man.
The fingers in the air. Look at the celebrating going on. Look at this right here.
He
the
just
whole,
took off. I don't know if he knew.
Section just stands up there at Dodger Stadium. Look at that. That's just fantastic.
Do you think he knew? Because now
you gotta feel it.
When he got past second base, then he started striding.
Ripping the jersey off. I mean, there's just something cool about that, and it's the victory lap. Like I said, it's that chance to have a victory lap of something where in other sports, the buzzer beater,
you're mobbed by teammates. Right. Yeah, you're right.
The field goal, right? You get a field goal for the win,
mobbed by teammates. But all the people you care about are on the sideline.
Well, but your teammates are who you care about.
I'm talking about all the cool kids come out. Like, you got all the fat linemen and people that ain't the cool, like the real.
Takes them forever to get
there. It's not the important people. Like the quarterback ain't coming out there. Finally, the quarterback's like, you're cool. Like you can hang with us.
But and then there's overtime hockey. See, I'm going to say that the buzzer beater and overtime hockey are sort of the same kind of thing. There's an anticipation of that play, and then there's that suddenness. The home run has of a suddenness, but then it lingers. It's a longer celebration because of the victory lap.
Yeah.
Whereas the buzzer beater or the overtime goal, it happens, it's celebrated, and it's like, that just happened. And so I've seen Stanley Cup game winning goals. Stanley Cup winning goals. I saw one happen right in front of me. Jason Arnott of the Devils against the Dallas Stars in 2000. I was literally ice level at Reunion Arena in Dallas covering that game. And just seeing it happen and seeing Arnott just turn and just, you know, screech and everybody runs out to him. Suddenness of the moment. And then within minutes, there's the cup coming right by me going onto the ice. It's like, whoa, that just happened. Whereas the home run, it's just that seems to linger more. So my argument is that's the greatest way to walk off because it seems to last longer.
Has it ever in the history of sports, and I'm not sure, I'm truly asking, has it ever been somebody to take the opening kickoff back in overtime? Wouldn't that be crazy?
These are grenade questions.
I'm saying, but wouldn't that be crazy, though?
I could have looked it up.
I'm saying, wouldn't that be crazy? Like now, because the
kickoff in overtime of football, and you just take it to the house.
And you just take it to the house. Like, all right, we're going to kick off. We're going to kick that way.
Like Bo Jackson style.
Yeah, you're running. And you're running like, I'll get there. Because, you know, like, if you kick a field goal, you don't win. So if you just run it and run, they trying to catch you, and you put it up.
If you're the Titans, why wouldn't you ever have Derrick Henry just?
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Like anybody could run somebody over.
The Music Miracle. The Music City Miracle.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that's the one everybody Lorenzo talks
O'Neal,
about.
Throw the ball back. Yeah, that, dicing up the sideline.
The Music City Miracle is definitely one of those walk-off moments.
I wonder if one of the coaches from the team would have tackled the guy when they gave
put
the
your
touchdown.
Leg out. Whatever. Forget that. I'd rather take the penalty than give up the touchdown in that moment. Man, who knows? But all we know is that it was an exciting moment last night at Dodger Stadium as the playoffs begin in baseball. And, of course, we ask you, is it the best way to end the game?
Ah, wow. This guy's so – I got a name. Say my name.
Yeah, I thought that would be the song we come in with. Say my name, say my name. No.
I like this one. I got a name. How dare you, Alan?
We're good,
though. You just froze me out.
I did not.
You let me know, like, I used to at least think I was like Spock. You let me know I'm Scotty. Scotty was always on the verge of dying. If anybody ever had to die and Kurt had to sacrifice somebody, he was sacrificing Scotty. I thought I was at least your boy.
I'm giving her all she's got, Captain.
Yeah, I thought I was a vice. Yeah, I'm giving her all she's got.
It's always that, right?
You always knew it was going to die, right? It'd always be Captain Kirk, the doctor. It'd be Spock. It'd be some dude we never knew. Like, yeah, he definitely going to get eaten by the alien. Or he definitely going to get shot by the ray gun. Like, really? Like, come on, man. Can you at least put some suspense to it?
Right. They get out of the ship, and it's like Kirk, Spock, the doc, and then like Admiral Smith.
Yeah.
Who do you think's gonna get eaten by the alien?
Yeah.
Definitely gonna be Admiral Smith.
Admiral, you do not have a multiple year contract on Star Trek. You are not gonna make it, man. We're gonna go ahead and kill you off right now.
Oh man, it's Bart now. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Man, it's all love. Fred McGriff's going to join us, the crime dog, in the top of the hour. We'll talk more baseball with him and talk walk-offs. He's had several in his career and everything else that we are seeing so far in the baseball playoffs. But you know what? First, we got a little breaking moves.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
So we have another move in football. Yesterday, we were talking about how there were two players that were going to be available. Stephon Gilmore, who the Patriots suddenly made him available. They were going to release him, then decided not to, as the Carolina Panthers said, no, we'll give you a six-round pick for him. And the Patriots said, if we can get him out of the AFC, sure. And they sent him off to Carolina, who could use the help in the secondary. But then there's also Jalen Smith of the Cowboys. And he became available when the Cowboys decided to release him. And the Green Bay Packers emerge as the team.
Swooped in.
That he signed with. And there were other options for him. He was negotiating, according to Adam Schefter, with, I think, three teams. And the Packers ended up being the place he wanted to go, and they got the deal done. What impact is this going to have on the Packers' defense?
Well, it makes it a little bit better, right? They're struggling. They would like to get a cornerback. You heard them rumored in trying to get Stephon Gilmore. But also, you talk about what it costs the Green Bay Packers. It costs them nothing, right? Because Dallas Cowboys are picking up his $7 million contract. So that means that he gets a double dip, or they don't have to pay him all his money. They can give him a small contract, so it doesn't affect them from a salary cap standpoint. What it gives them is an athletic linebacker, a playmaker. As Darius Smith has been hurt, they don't know if he's going to be shut down for the year, but he's their best pass rusher. So they're leaning on a emerging Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith to try and be the pass rushers. But Darius Smith has been the heart and soul of that defense for the last couple of years as he's come over from Baltimore and been outstanding. So you think about Jalen Smith, maybe he's a guy that can give you some toughness in the middle, some athleticism, and maybe be a blitzer to help you get pressure on the quarterback. And why it made sense for him is familiarity, right? Because you talk about Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur was on the coaching staff in Notre Dame
right.
when he was in college with them. So he goes back to a person that he knows, and damn, they damn near the same age. So I can only imagine what they were doing in college together going around South Bend.
Yeah. Now why are the Cowboys so – I know their defense has played really well, but – why would the Cowboys so quick to move on from him?
To me, it's got to be more to meet the eye. It's got to be something going on. Either he was becoming a malcontent inside of that building. Listen, we know that Vanderish has struggled with injury. But I think really what happened is Dan Quinn brought over somebody that he really loved and coveted. And that's Keanu Neal, who mm-hmm. came in his league as a safety. But now within his league, they play almost in a dime type of package. And he comes down at 225. And he plays that linebacker. Then you have Vanderish, and now you have Parsons. When Randy Gregory is back and Lawrence comes back, then that leaves Jalen Smith on the bench anyway. So maybe they did him a service, or maybe they just he was becoming so such an irritant that they decided just, hey, we can afford to move on from him, because even if Van Der Esch gets hurt, we can just keep Keanu Neal in that role.
Do you think Brian Gutekunst consulted with Aaron Rodgers on this move?
Not at all.
He was on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, he didn't have to, because guess what? This is a Pro Bowl caliber player that you're getting for nothing. So he can only hurt. And if he doesn't work out, you just cut him anyway.
Yeah, fair point. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More of your calls. Let's go to Alf is in Tennessee. What's up, Alf?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Just really quick, I think the factor surrounding whatever said play is plays a big part in it. And sure. The game that I was actually at, it was talked about just briefly, but Joe Carter's walk-off homer in 93. Right?
Big.
When you kind of factor the whole, it was a country, not just a city, right? A whole country behind it.
Right.
And, you know, the party after that matched the home run. It was unbelievable. Millions of people coming downtown, an awesome party, and it was just, I was glad to be there.
Oh, you were at that. All right, so you were in that moment. You saw that. You were at that Sky Dome.
I was at the game, and just really quick, I carry the ticket stub with me every day. After the game, I walked into a bar, showed the stub, got my free round of drinks, went out to the street, drank. 4 bars later, tried to do the same thing, realized I left the ticket at the original bar, went back, and it was right where I set it down on the bar. So it's never left my side since.
Wow, that's fantastic story.
I hope you got the thing laminated.
Yeah, I would have that in a frame right now. No, there's no doubt about that. We don't have time for one more. I'd love to get some more. We got a bunch of these, though. Like I said, we'll continue to get to those calls with you because I love these stories. These are great. Maybe it's true, Bart. It is in the context of the moment.
Yeah.
You know, what it means to the team, what it means to the in that moment, is that the best way to do it? I'm just talking about just in general. Walking around, you know, being able to jog the bases to celebrate a moment like that is a lot different than it being that instant hit the three or hit the game-winning shot at the buzzer, score the goal, the field goal. It happens, and then it's over, whereas the home run, it's like the trot.
But what about a little bit
longer to enjoy it.
If it's the last shot, Benny Johnson, 007.
You just keep going back to your Detroit stuff. All right, well, somebody who's hit walk-offs, he certainly knows what it's about. We'll talk next with him.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.